You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz. Went to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a full house on the program today. Mark Lawrence will join us as he does every Wednesday. We've got a full slate of action on the board tonight. Some college football from the MAC conference. Some big games in the MAC this evening. We break them down with Mark Lawrence. I'm in a college mood this afternoon, actually. So we're going to focus in on some college football. But we are talking NFL football, and we are on the Fantasy Sports Network. So the Tony Cincata will join us. We'll talk a little NFL DFS for Week 10. Get you ready. We'll kick the tires on this a little bit. Talk a little NBA DFS tonight. Five games on the association slate, and who better to join us to break it down than Pete Annapolis. Pete Annapolis, perfect guest today because Pete's a great NBA analyst, but he's also a former college basketball assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. So he knows all about the corruption and stuff that goes on. And in fact, he was actually at UMass when they were good. And we remember what happened at UMass when they were good. So Pete's been there, literally and figuratively. I don't know. I think Pete might even been one of the guys that, like, meets somebody at Denny's and slips the envelope under the table to the mother type of deal. You know, I should ask him that to get his answer. Statute of limitations, man. But all kidding aside, yeah, UMass is a fine program, fine institution. So, yeah, Pete Annapolis is going to join us. We're going to talk basketball. College basketball tips off on Friday. Great. We're going to add another sport to the rotation, and I'm freaking stoked about it. UCLA and Georgia Tech are playing each other in Shanghai. They're starting off the season. It's a regular season game as well. And, of course, a lot of talk about Lonzo Ball, LaVar Ball all the time. LiAngelo, evidently, desperate cry for attention as he was arrested in Hangzhou, China yesterday. Evidently stole something from a Louis Vuitton store. I don't know. I know Louis Vuitton stuff's expensive, but you know, why do you want anything Louis Vuitton? I think of Louis Vuitton, I think of like Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton or something like that. But whatever, I digress. You know, a lot of people are expecting me to pile on this kid right now, especially since because he is a Ball. But listen, he's a 19-year-old guy, 18, 19 years old. People do dumb things. Kids do dumb things. Yeah, I've done dumb things. I still do dumb things now. So I know people are expecting it. No, I'm taking a high road on this one. Kids will be kids. All right. Kids will be kids. You know, pretty stupid to do this, though, in Shanghai. But anyways, we'll get to that a little bit later on with Pete Annapolis. So all kidding aside, you know, the sports world was rocked pretty hard yesterday by the tragic passing of Doc Holliday. 40 years old, plane crash. He was an aviation freak. He loved planes. His father loved planes. So Doc Holliday, unfortunately, the latest victim of a small plane accident, fatality. And also, if you think about it, you go down the list, like Payne Stewart, small plane. John F. Kennedy Jr., small plane. You know, seriously, you know, go back, Buddy Holly, small planes, man, small freaking planes. Yeah, I saw Thurman Thomas go to College Game Day the other day, and they showed him arriving in one of these little planes. It's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, come on, Thurman. You know, yeah, it sucks standing in line, getting on a Southwest flight, but I just find, you know, I don't like small planes, man. I don't trust small planes, but nevertheless, Doc Holliday, you know, great man. You know, oftentimes when people die, athletes die, celebrities die, musicians die, hell, even, you know, people, everybody's great. If everybody was as great in reality as everybody pretends that they were when they were alive, the world would be a better place to live in. But Doc Holliday did make the world a better place to be. There is no cliche. And I don't even want to talk about Doc Holliday and his baseball accomplishments. If we want to talk about his baseball accomplishments, let's put it this way. He was Roger Clemens, except he wasn't a jerk. That's the difference. Roger Clemens is a great pitcher. You know, people don't look up to Roger Clemens. People look up to Roger Clemens' arm. People look up to Roger Clemens' accomplishments. People don't look up to Roger Clemens, the man. People looked up to Doc Holliday, the man. All right? Like, you know, Major League Baseball players, he was the consummate player's player. All right? Like, you're not going to find anyone who was more respected in baseball. And it's not just a freaking cliche to say that. His work ethic was second to none. Second to none. That's the thing. Listen, it's always bothered me. You know, even if you go back to the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know, Larry Bird, goofy looking white guy from, from Indiana, from French Lick. Oh, he had to work really hard. He had to work really hard to get where he got. Meanwhile, Magic Johnson, Magic Johnson didn't have to work. Hey, I'm Magic Johnson. And, I don't have to work at all. So there's a misconception. Everybody works hard. Every superstar works hard. And if they don't, they're not superstars. It's pretty simple. But nobody worked harder than Doc Holliday. Story about Chase Utley. First time Chase Utley ever met Doc Holliday was at spring training. So it was 5:45. He's just a kid, spring training, first spring training. Meets Doc Holliday. Says, "Nice to meet you, Roy." And Doc Holliday is soaking wet. And Chase Utley goes, "Oh, is it raining outside?" He goes, "No, I just finished my workout." And that was at 5:45 in the morning. The old, we do more before 6 a.m. than you do all day. That was Doc Holliday. Doc Holliday understood what all the greats and whatever profession it is. And if you're watching this, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a pizza delivery guy or whether you're a cop or whether you're a rocket scientist or whether you're a jackass talk show host. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Any coach will tell you that. Any great, successful person will tell you. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Doc Holliday got that. And that's why he was one of the greats. There's only two people ever to throw a no-hitter in their first ever playoff appearance. He's one of them. Don Larson was the other. He happened to throw a perfect game in the same year as well. It's not easy to be beloved by the sports fans of Philadelphia. We're talking about the fans that threw batteries at Santa Claus before. They don't like anybody. All right, they don't even like Rocky in Philadelphia, okay? Rocky, that's a fraud. They don't even like Rocky. They love Doc Holliday in Philadelphia. As far as Toronto is concerned, well, the love affair between Doc Holliday and the city of Toronto and the Blue Jay organization was a very passionate one. The reason why he ended up retiring as a Blue Jay in the end. And as somebody that's lived in Toronto and not a Torontonian and not a Blue Jay fan, I'm wearing this jersey out of respect for Doc Holliday. I was actually wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. And I thought to myself, I can't stand here and wax poetic about such a great man while wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. Because Doc Holliday's ethics and Kobe Bryant's ethics, two different things. Watching an NBA game last night, I don't think Carmelo Anthony was even sweating. The Oklahoma City Thunder could care less last night. That's the difference. Doc Holliday cared every day. And when he wasn't pitching, he was trying to get better. Sports psychology, studying game tape. You knew when you laid it down as a betting man on Doc Holliday, you were going to get an honest effort. All right? You were going to get an honest effort. It's been a rough year, man. 2017, the Las Vegas shootings, church shootings, mass murders, constant deaths of good people. Gord Downie, tragically hip. And Canada's taking it hard, man. Gord Downie was a big part of the country's, fiber. And so was Doc Holliday. May Tom Petty rest in peace. As I guess they say, the cliche that they say actually is true. Only the good die young. R.I.P. Doc. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. A little bit more somber program on the show today. The show must go on, and the games are being played this evening, and bills have to be paid. We're going to try to beat the book this evening and win some money in DFS as well. But it's tough. And, in today's society, we get affected by the passings of people that we don't know. Oh my God, Prince passed away, or David Bowie died, etc. Music has a big impact on our lives, but I often find that we over-glorify some people. We overglorify the celebrity-dom of some people sometimes. But Doc Holliday, guy really had a big impact on communities. I swear, like, you go on Twitter, you go look at pictures of Doc, all you're going to see is pictures of him in hospitals with kids and holding kids up, genuinely smiling while doing it. There's a picture here, bring a tear to your eye, of him with his kids' baseball team, and I think they won their league title. And he's got a selfie. He's all smiles. The kids are all smiling. And, you know, a lot of athletes after, and I spoke to Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star, a longtime baseball columnist today. And, he knew Doc very well. And, a lot of athletes, they have problems after they retire, especially the ultra-competitive guys. What do you do? You know, if you're not on TV, you're not an analyst, you know, they have a burning desire. They end up bored. They end up very bitter. They end up doing stupid things. And they end up just playing golf all day. And they don't look at Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger Woods is having a problem adjusting to post, like, success life type of deal, even though he has money. Doc Holliday didn't have that problem. You know, Doc Holliday, like, had all this money. He's only 40 years old. He was very happy. The rest of his life in front of him taken. But the moral of the story is, you know, you must enjoy every moment that you have right now, no matter how old you are. Whether you're 22 and you think, oh, I'm fine, I'm going to live forever, or whether you're 47 or 52, you know, there's no guarantees in this world. Nobody plans. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to die today. It doesn't work like that. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now, playbook.com. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe, and I agree exactly 100% with what you said about Doc Holliday. What a tremendous loss it is, not only in Major League Baseball, but for us as human beings and as fans. He was a great person, a great human being, and you and I talked. I think he's a certain Hall of Fame pitcher, and he brings some numbers to the table that maybe aren't as huge or impressive looking as other Hall of Famers, but in today's baseball game, modern baseball, his numbers, I think, won't take a second backseat to anybody. You talk about a pitcher that threw a no-hitter in a World Series and has won two Cy Youngs in each of the two different leagues. He was the epitome of success. When I handicap baseball, Holliday was a pitcher that I either used or never tried to beat because I knew he was going to always come with his best effort.
Yeah, a phrase I like to use often is exactly, honest effort. You're going to get an honest effort. You can't win every bet you make. You can't win every game you're going to play in. But did you get an honest effort from the team? Did you get an honest effort from the pitcher? And he was a definition of that. Obsessed with success, yet a lot of guys, a lot of geniuses and a lot of people that are obsessed with success, they're not good people. And it's you can get caught up in it, man. Like Bill O'Reilly was a great talk show host, Mark, but he wasn't a nice guy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are very good at what they do. I brought up Roger Clemens, and I'm not trying to pile on Roger Clemens or anything, but Roger Clemens, you don't get much better than him as a pitcher. You don't hear a lot of people saying what a great guy Roger Clemens is, do you, Mark? You know what I mean?
Never.
You don't hear, this guy is, man, you don't believe that how nice of a man this guy is. They're like, no, he's a surly jerk. That's a hell of a mean competitor. You know, it doesn't always translate, but it did with Doc. And I think probably because of Doc, he wasn't like Roger Clemens. Doc Holliday was an undrafted guy. He was an undrafted guy, Mark, and when he came up to the bigs, he wasn't doing well. They sent him back down to the minors. So, like, he really earned everything that he got.
Yeah, he was a self-made pitcher, Gabe, and that's what really relates to the blue-collar baseball fan out there. The effort that Doc Holliday put forth in every game he pitched. And I'll say this, one of the huge categories that I track as a handicapper is walks to strikeout ratios. And his was off the charts. He was that good. He had Clayton Kershaw walk to strikeout ratio numbers before Clayton Kershaw in this day-to-day where the strike zone, the pitchers get all the strikes. So, you know, what he did in the past, I don't think anybody would second guess that he should be and belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
All right, Mark. So let's talk some football, and may Doc rest in peace, and our condolences to his kids and his family, which is going to be a very difficult time. Maxion, triple header night tonight. Let's blast through these, and I want to get to the bubble burst. The bubble burst theory has been in effect. But the temperature rising, the collar tightening is in effect as well. And I'm looking forward to breaking that down with you in a second, Mark. But Kent State at Western Michigan tonight. Broncos need this game to punch a bowl game. I think they're going to get it. Numbers come down right now. And in fact, it's 20.5. I think they're going to cover the number. I think they just tattoo these guys.
Well, Kent State's beatable, no question, Gabe. They've lost 19 of the last 22 road games. They know they're going to take the loss in this contest here. My only concern is that they've got Northern Illinois on deck next week, and they're just 1-4 the last 5 years in last home games of the season here. It's a big number. I wouldn't want any Kent State, but as we said in the Playbook newsletter, because of these negative things also around Western Michigan, I'm going to pass the game.
All right, the big game in the MAC tonight is Toledo and Ohio. We got the Rockets. Their only loss, I'll tell you what, not bad if your only one loss is against the Miami Hurricanes right now through the Toledo Rockets. Like, pretty impressive. What, very impressive, this program, Mark. After Matt Campbell leaving, that they continue the success like this, and Kareem Hunt being gone, very impressive stuff, man.
Very impressive. Head and shoulders, the best team in the MAC conference this year. And running backwards, too, as you mentioned here, last year, moving forward to this year, they're coming in here with revenge from their only home loss of the season last year. Ohio beat them as 15-point dogs at the Glass Bowl in Toledo. So you know Toledo will be focused for this football game. But in Ohio, you've got a team here, Frank Solich's team, that is excellent. They excel in home underdog roles. The last five times they've been a home underdog, they've won the game straight up all five times. This will be a real good football game. I think this has kind of got a MAC playoff preview conference look and feel to it as well here. I think this is going to be one heck of a football game to watch.
Yeah, how evenly matched are these teams? The Rockets come in on a five-game win streak after losing to the Miami Hurricanes in a game that we should note that they were leading 13-7 at the half in as well. But how evenly matched? Listen to the Toledo guys. They score exactly 39 points per game. They give up 24.4 points per game. The Ohio Bobcats scoring 41.2 points per game, give up 25.7. There's like a difference of 1 point between their two averages, Mark. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they mirror one another statistically, no question about that. And you wonder
Ohio
why.
Normally isn't as good offensively. I'm surprised to see the Bobcats with this big of offensive numbers on the board.
Kind of under the radar in that sense, Gabe. And you wonder, if you put tape over the names of these teams, you would think this game would be pick'em at worst. Maybe even Ohio, the home team, a slight favorite for the home field here. But statistically, the Bobcats don't back down to the Rockets in this game. Toledo's got a lot of name and reputation, and that revenge factor padded into this line.
All right, so we've got Eastern Michigan and Central Michigan. Another football game in which a bowl bid is at stake. The Chips are stuck at 5. Chippewas always play a tough schedule, and then normally, actually, this is a typical Chippewa team, Mark, to be honest with you. Every year, this is just what they are. Maybe they're not quite as good as past Chips teams, but they've won 3 of their last 4 games. This point spread surprises me. You're the expert, Mark, so I ask you, why are Eastern Michigan favored at Mount Pleasant tonight?
You know, Gabe, I was going to ask you the same question. I'm perplexed. You take a look here. You've got a Central Michigan team that's 5-4 overall, 3-2 in the conference. Eastern Michigan, 3-6 overall, and 1-4 in the conference. Why is Central Michigan the home dog here?
Yeah, and Central Michigan need to win for a bowl game. It's a rivalry, and they come in needing this game.
On top of it as well, I know one thing, though. Eastern Michigan's stats are better than Central's here, offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
They net out better statistically, but that doesn't warrant, especially with the need that the Chips have in this football game here. Also, one little stat here about Eastern Michigan, 3-13 to the spread in the second of back-to-back road games. This is not their best role as well. I think the odds maker made a mistake in the line here. I have no idea why they're favored here. That's the question I was going to ask of you.
Yeah, this is my biggest bet of the night, actually. On the college board tonight. This is the one I'm locked and loaded with. I like the Chips tonight getting the points. Yeah, it's interesting, too. And, last night I was doing a podcast, and a lot of gamblers are in there, and they were like, well, Central Michigan are 7-2 against the spread this year. Yeah, because they're big underdogs every week. Like, Central Michigan's not 7-2 because they're 2-point road favorites.
Yep. No respect here for the Chips, none whatsoever in this football game here. Just a little sidebar note, there's another game like this off the MAC card, and I don't want to get too far away from this, but UAB playing Texas San Antonio. UAB is getting no respect this year as well, and all they're doing is winning games. They're going to go bowling here, and San Antonio's falling apart at the seams. I see the same thing in the Central Michigan Eastern game here tonight.
Man, I got so caught up in the MAC, I forgot about the belt. I try to stay on top of everything, Mark. I'll admit it on the air. That one fell through the cracks on me. It fell through the cracks. I was like, Mac. We'll have to do a quick thought about that and get the picks. So you like UAB tonight in this game?
I like UAB in this football game. I think they're the better football team. They're the dog. And like I say, the other guy, you look at the wins San Antonio has, Gabe. They come against an FCS team, and the other wins are against teams that don't even have a winning record this year. It's another game I think the odds makers sort of fell asleep on.
All right, so let's talk about the big boys right now, big weekend of college football. And I've been picking on the undefeated teams for a couple of weeks, Mark, and I've been in the minority, but I've been cashing in doing it. We hit a money line with Iowa State. You know, I didn't push the envelope. I didn't think Indiana was going to beat Wisconsin last week. But if I can make a legitimate case for it, like case in point, I was on the Gamecocks last week plus the points against Georgia. I've been betting against the Miami Hurricanes on a weekly basis. Yeah, I got burned against Va Tech last week, but I cashed with Syracuse. I cashed with Georgia Tech. So basically, I've been picking on these teams because I'm a disciple of Playbook University, Mark.
There you go.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that since 1980, undefeated college football teams playing in the regular season, specifically from game 10 out, are 112-40 straight up, but just 63-80 against the spread. If they're conference road favorites, they're 38-55. And when it stalls as favorites of 6 or more, they're just 13-34. We can go down the list of different numbers, but let's get into the human element of this. The pressure rises, man. There's a lot of pressure on these kids, specifically the Georgia Bulldogs. I think the Bulldogs are in a tough spot. They're ranked ahead of Bama. Everyone's telling them how good they are. They've already locked their spot into the SEC Conference Championship game. Yet at the same point in time, they got a lot of balls in the air here, and there's almost this guarantee. Oh, Georgia, even if they lose, they're in. You know, people have just sort of put Georgia in this Final Four. And, you know, Mark, there's a lot can happen between now and December 5th when they play that SEC game.
Unquestionably, they're the darlings of college football this year, the Georgia Bulldogs. I know they were going to be a good football team. Many people thought they'd win the East, but maybe not this good to the point where they're tops in the college football playoff rankings right now as we speak. That's a huge, huge amount of pressure on this football team to play against a very good Auburn football team here. I like Auburn in this football game. We call it as the Noose Titans in the playbook, and the Noose Titans on these undefeated teams laying points on the road. Watch and see if Georgia doesn't gag in this football game as the Noose Titans.
Everyone's talking about this game. Everybody's talking about the Catholics versus convicts. People are talking about TCU Oklahoma. We just sort of always assume, well, Alabama's going to win. What about Alabama? This game's flying under the radar, and this could be a tricky game for them, couldn't it? Mississippi State's playing with house money in this game.
This is another game, Gabe, that Alabama has got to bring their A game here. This is a game that I'm sure Nick Saban is not sleeping at night with. You take a look at how much success Mississippi State's met with at home. You've got a college football team who lives for college football. This is a primetime football game on ESPN. You've got undefeated Alabama coming in here. And look at what Mississippi State's done. They took LSU down straight up on this field here. Last year, they knocked off an 8-1 Texas A&M football team on this field here. I'm going to play Mississippi State on the money line here. I think the pressure, again, squarely on Alabama in this game. Dan Mullen wins a big game or two every year. This could be win number two this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Dan Mullen, I don't know why he doesn't go to Florida. I always thought that's the job he wanted, but evidently...
He may end up there, too. There's rumor down here that they may go after him.
Yeah. Wow, you're calling the money line here. Yeah, this is a dangerous game, man. The kid from Mississippi State can really scramble and get around in the pocket. And you know, Mark, Alabama, that's always been the kryptonite for Saban and his defense, mobile quarterback.
No question about that. Nick Fitzgerald from Mississippi State meets the mold. He's the guy here right now, the guy that no other opposing coach wants to have to go up against because he can move the football in the air, on the ground. He's the real deal, Fitzgerald at Mississippi State here. I think this game goes down to whoever scores last wins the game.
I've been to out there to Starkville. The cowbells, ding, 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 ding. It's actually pretty annoying when you're there, Mark. I was hungover. It was an early start. It was like 11 a.m. start against LSU. It was his family behind me, man. Ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh, God, man. And they don't serve booze in that stadium either. I got to be honest. Me and Cam, we tapped out. And, like, we went all the way to the game. We couldn't take it because we drank all night. We were sitting there. These bells were going off and cowbells. They were playing LSU. We said, screw this. We went to a campus bar and got blasted. Watched the game. LSU won, but Mississippi State covered, and we won our bet. So that's our Mississippi State story. Check out Mark, playbook.com, get his newsletter. The coffee club is great. You get morning tidbits, ton of NBA tidbits. Quickly on the way out, Mark, Catholics versus convicts, who you got?
I got the convicts down here. I like this football team, Gabe. They're not getting a lot of notoriety. They got the nation's longest win streak. Most of all, Mark Richt against Brian Kelly. I'll take Richt plus the points.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Check it out and get it on your mobile device. Thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good.
All right, Mark Lawrence. We go for Mark Lawrence. We're going to talk some fantasy sports on the other side. Tony Cincata is going to join us. We'll talk NBA and NFL DFS.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
All right, let's talk some fantasy sports. But before we take a look at tonight's DFS slate and talk a little Week 10 NFL, of course, fantasy sports has gotten a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober.Games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. Create a lineup of at least three matchups, and you're good to go. So, yeah, it's not you're not playing against other people. You just pick three over-under fantasy matchups. And the cool thing is you can mix and match sports as well. So you can mix like an NBA fantasy matchup with an NFL fantasy matchup. Quarterback, wide receiver, point guard, et cetera. You just have to be, you have to go 3 for 3. You get paid 6 to 1. Pretty much, you know, it's like a parlay, 6 to 1. You get paid 6 to 1. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest, all right? You don't even have to deposit. You just enter a free contest by joining. Join the website over at Dober.Games. It's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober.Games. Sign up now at Dober.Games. Let's bring in the Tony Cincata, who's killing it over at Dober.Games. What's going on, Tony?
I'm fired up. I'm fired up. Big night last night in the NBA. I absolutely got it done. So going for back-to-back nights tonight.
All right, good stuff, Tony. Let's jump in. Five games on the association slate tonight with the T-Wolves and the Warriors being the highest total of the board. And it keeps going up. It was 229. And the bettors, they like it. They've betted up to 231. You know, Minnesota offensively really starting to click right now, Tony. And so are the Golden State Warriors during this winning streak at home right now. I mean, they're putting up like a... The Warriors are putting up .119 at home since they've lost to the Pistons, and Minnesota's averaging like 114 games during their streak right now.
Yeah, and I was one of the guys that you mentioned on one of your shows that had the Golden State Warriors minus 4 at half, and it disappeared.
Oh, you heard? Yeah, you heard me talking. Unbelievable. And how about I get this? I had the Heat plus 16. I lose by 7. It's amazing. We all got screwed on that.
So here's the thing in this game tonight. Kevin Durant, to me, is the only surefire play here. The rest are pretty complicated. Durant is underpriced on DraftKings. Under $10,000, he comes into play. The point guard position tonight in the NBA is not good. Kyrie Irving's the best play. Stephen Curry's the second best play, but you got to pay more for Curry. Kyrie Irving's going to get a bigger usage rate tonight because Al Horford is out of that game for the Boston Celtics, and Kyrie was putting up points before. He'll even shoot more tonight.
Yeah, interesting this evening. I'm looking at this game, and you're right. It's always tough. Golden State Warriors, from a DFS perspective, it's a lot like New England Patriot running backs. you know, they're going to be successful, but you don't really know which one. And like you, when the default, I usually go with Durant. I find him to be the most consistent one of them all. You know, Curry's sort of hit or miss with his threes. Durant's going to do his thing. You know, Durant's going to do his thing. And Durant's got the blocks now, right? I like as well. So he adds that in rotation. But how about Towns at $8,900? I mean, this guy, does Golden State have anyone to match up with him besides Draymond? And I like Draymond. Draymond's hitting threes now suddenly. I'm looking at this game. I'm looking at Towns and Green.
Here's the thing with that Kyle Anthony Towns. I like him a lot tonight, and I want to use him. The problem is Hassan Whiteside's only $7,400. He gets the Phoenix front court against him.
Yeah.
Hassan, you never know what this guy's going to do, and it's a huge gamble. But at $7,400, he could put up 50 fantasy points, and you don't want to miss out on that. So I like Kyle Anthony Towns. I would say he's the safe cash play. But here's the biggest enigma in this game. Jimmy Butler, $6,900. That price is so low, but he's only got 15% of the usage rate in Minnesota. So when they score, he's only on the scoring end 15% of the time. That number's too low. I think it has to change, but it's hard to go there. At $6,900, it's so appetizing.
How about Dion Waiters coming back after the birth of his kid? $5,700. He's going to give us 25 DK points, and there's an upside. That's what I like about this. We'll get the 27-30, but he is capable of giving us 45, 50 fantasy points as well.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. When you look at a guy with a low floor right there, because he just keeps shooting. And unlike rotisserie fantasy basketball, there is no shooting percentage, right? So if he keeps shooting, he's not shot. I think both guys are in play tonight with Deion Waiters and Goran Dragic in this game, along with Hassan Whiteside. You look at these guys in the pace that they'll play at Phoenix. Phoenix very poor defensively and very poor against the backcourt. I think both guards in Miami can be played tonight.
Injuries in the NBA is always tough, man. It's always tough. You don't know the starting lineup sometimes to like 6:43 or something like that. But that's why you got to watch Dane and Tony live at 6. They'll keep you up to date. I'm keeping my eye on this. What do you think? My guess as a betting man is Stanley Johnson's out tonight. I don't expect him to play. Which means Anthony Tolliver is a nice little, I look at this like Tetris, right? You got to squeeze in a piece here, $3,500. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it sucks, you know, what do you call it, a punt play or whatever. Sometimes it sucks. You're like, okay, man, I'm putting this guy up for three. I hope he can get me 15, Fanny. I hope he can get me 15. Johnson can, Tolliver can. He's shown us. For $3,500, we might be able to get 19, 21, 23 points. You can do worse for $3,500 if Stanley Johnson's out tonight.
He's good. I think he'll be out, and Tolliver's one of the guys there. The other guy that I think will benefit from this is Ish Smith. I think he'll get more playing time on that court, maybe alongside Reggie Jackson, same price, $3,500. I've been trying to figure out this Detroit situation all morning, and I think I'm leaning towards Ish Smith.
All right, let's talk some NFL DFS. Slim pickings at the quarterback position this week in the Millionaire Maker. You got the highest total on the board is the Cowboys and Falcons. But we got to keep our eye on this Cowboys situation. You know, Terrence Williams injured. Elliott, another hearing Thursday. Dez Bryant's talking a big game, but we don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Cole Beasley's going to be worth a big look, actually. All kidding aside, on Sunday. I'm looking at Matt Ryan here a little bit, Tony. $6,500, and I think Matt Ryan has, Matt Ryan has been bad enough, and the Falcons have been bad enough weeks in a row that people are going to be a little shy from him, don't you think? Like, do you think Johnny Public's going to want to take Matt Ryan this week? I don't think so.
No way. Matt Ryan, it's a great defensive back to attack. The Dallas Cowboys have been absolutely pathetic. $6,500. They've allowed 26 most points to quarterbacks. I'll tell you what, I like some on the same price range. I'm going in on Jared Goff this week, $6,700.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, though, from a fantasy, there's a lot of negatives to look at. Jared Goff in 5 out of 8 games has thrown less than 30 times. You can't be an elite quarterback throwing less than 30 times. You can't throw for 311, get 4 touchdown passes, and only complete 14 passes, which he did last week. So there's a lot of statistical things that say he can't keep that up, but Houston's been so bad.
I'm looking at a cheap stack here, and it takes a lot of cojones to actually do it. With Ryan Fitzpatrick and Adam Humphries.
You know what? I love Humphries.
$3,100. He's got to be in the lineup. Mike Evans is out. Deshaun. So who are they throwing to? You got Deshaun Jackson and Adam Humphries. And you know Fitz likes Humphries, too.
Yeah, I love that play. I absolutely love Adam Humphries this week. He'll be in a lot of my lineups out there. As we talk there and more, and you hear more and more talk, he's a guy that's going to be heavily mentioned by a lot of the DFS plays. And one more cheap guy I want to throw at you. You seen him play last week. Josh McCown, he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Going against that in that same game against that porous defense. He doesn't throw a ton, but he gets guys in the end zone.
No, you're exactly right. I can't argue that. You know, if people love the Saints this week because they've won six games in a row. They're going into Buffalo, and I see Drew Brees is expensive. I don't know. I guess people have never they don't understand weather in Buffalo at this time of the year. it's going to be one of those weather checks. I've already done my research, Tony. I check the weather all the time early in the week. So I'm looking at this. It's going to be like 4 or 5 degrees, scattered showers, dark, dreary, 17-mile-an-hour winds. Bills coming off a loss on Thursday night. People, I'm reading now the Bills were a fraud. They're terrible because they were never on TV ever. So they saw them on TV on a Thursday night against the Jets on a short week, and they lost. Bills are going to circle the wagons. I think Drew Brees is going to have a tough time Sunday morning in Buffalo.
I totally agree with you. He's a guy that the numbers show when he plays outdoors as opposed to indoors. There's a drop-off in play. Now he's going to Buffalo, going to the East Coast. I think this is a guy, fantasy-wise, this year, he has not lived up to Drew Brees' standards. I mean, you look at what he's done. 18 fantasy points against Tampa, a poor defense. 11 fantasy points against Chicago. 13 against Detroit. 19 against Miami. 15 against Minnesota. Those are a lot of things to question Drew Brees about. I have questions. I like Tyrod Taylor more than Drew Brees in that game. The Saints defense is a lot better, but Taylor is, he's bulletproof because he's never going to have a bad game because he's going to get 30 or 40 yards rushing. Now they get Charles Clay back healthy. Matthews has another thumb situation, another week with the thumb all right there. I like them in the advent of Calvin Benjamin. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, I like the more than
Yeah, Lewis. Tyrod, even though, now you're right, even though the Bills blew, Tyrod had 27 DK points last week. You know,
he
you're right.
He just can't have a bad game.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, Tony. It's always a pleasure. And quickly on the way out, Doc Holliday, I know you're a big baseball fan. Really, really sucks, doesn't it, man? Only 40 years old. Hell of a pitcher that guy was.
I was telling people yesterday, the one thing people don't realize is how good of a pitcher he was because he pitched in the American League in Toronto, a great ballpark. I break down these ballparks every day doing DFS in offensive environments. He pitched great in an offensive environment, and people forget about that.
Great point. Great point. Tony, always a pleasure. Check out Tony and Dane at 6 o'clock, and check out Tony tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, TV and radio at 6. He'll get you ready for your DFS lineup tonight. Thanks, Tony. Tony Sincata, Pete Annapolis joins us next. We talk some NBA basketball and college.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Let's talk some basketball on the Fantasy Sports Network. We just talked NBA basketball from a DFS perspective. Let's talk a little college ball. And then we'll break down the T-Wolves and Warriors game this evening. And we just got word, actually, that Kevin Durant is scratched from tonight's game. Kevin Durant is a scratcher, so Steph Curry definitely becomes the DFS play if you want to get a piece of the Warriors here this evening. Point spread went from 10.5 down to 8.5. We just found out about this about a minute ago. So Durant is out of this basketball game. I don't know if LiAngelo Ball is out of jail yet. As of this morning, I think he was still in captivity, as it is right now. And, you know, the other two guys on UCL are lucky because the headline now is just, you know, LiAngelo Ball and two others arrested. But let's bring in Pete Yiannopoulos, one of our basketball analysts and insiders, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, RDS Television, Champlain basketball analyst as well. So college basketball was already under, it was already a black cloud. And, you know, there was already a lot of scrutiny as far as college ball coming into the year. And now, just 2 days before the season set to start, we have an arrest with one of the Ball brothers in China, of all places. And to top it off, the team that they're playing, Georgia Tech, their head coach, Sean Pastner, who used to be head coach of the Memphis Tigers, one of his former assistants and buddies is throwing him under the bus, stating that, oh, yeah, man, Pastner's been paying players off for years, including these two kids on the team right now. This couldn't get any uglier in China right now.
It's unbelievable, Gabe. And when you look at the landscape of college basketball, it's been the glory years, right, for a number of years, and the NCAA and the TV deals and the one shining moments. But the way social media is today, you can't hide anything. And things were trying to be hidden back in the day. But right now, I mean, anything you do, you're liable to get caught and to face the consequences. And we saw what happened with Rick Pitino. Well, you won't face consequences if you're North Carolina, because when they gave out bogus classes, well, they didn't give them to only student athletes. They gave them to all the student population. So that's okay. But that's another story for another day.
You know what? North Carolina, the NCAA, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what's too bad, though? The NCAA kicks the crap out of their football team every year. Every time the basketball team does something, they nail the football team with another violation. It's like NC, you know, and the dean probably told them, listen, you know, we're not making any money off the football. Just take scholarships from there, right? They leave the basketball alone, and they do. But it almost seems, you know, I don't know, I'm not comparing it to the sexual stuff, that, you know, assaults there, the harassment cases are going on now. But it almost seems like the curtain's being pulled back, where we saw Chuck Person, a rifleman yesterday, was indicted. Where it's, it used to be like, well, don't you know? Yeah, everyone's getting paid under the table, wink, wink. It's now, it's like, no, you're under arrest. Like, no, you took $40,000, you know, and it seems the common theme is everyone's, they're like pigs at the trough. Everyone's making money off of this, except the kids the whole time.
Listen, it's only going to get worse in terms of a lot of the rumors and potential allegations. Well, now they're coming to fruition. Josh Pastner is somebody that I've known for over 20 years. Tremendous coach, tremendous person, a lot of integrity, coming from Arizona when he was a walk-on player, became an assistant coach under Lou Olson. I used to run a national scouting service, Gabe, in Arizona, and Josh Pastner was one of my clients.
Yeah,
he worked under Calipari. He worked, you know, got the job when Calipari left, got the head job at Memphis. And when you look at Calipari, I mean, nothing has happened to him, right? He hasn't been caught doing anything. And I think Josh Pastner is the same thing. But right now, one of his friends, I mean, is, you know, Ron Bell, so upset because Josh Pastner didn't call him on his birthday. Total insult. Well, then he rats him out. And now, you know, the big picture here is that, you know, you got two players here. In terms of Georgia Tech, October 2nd is the last time Josh Pastner contacted or spoke with Ron Bell. Then they self-reported the violations to their compliance office and therefore to the NCAA. What happened before that? Well, that remains to be seen. But two storied franchises, right, UCLA and Georgia Tech, trying to really promote the game of college basketball in Shanghai, in China. And right now, both those teams is leaving a black mark. And, you know, UCLA, you know, kids will be kids. I could tell you for a fact. I at least once a month, I hear of a team, whether college, whether local or in the United States, some kids are shoplifting somewhere. Kids do that. They're dumb. They have to pay the price.
I told the story, Pete. Playing playing hockey in NDG, we went to Rouse's Point, and we played a tournament, and exact same thing happened. We were a disgrace. Four kids on our team got busted, arrested, stealing from a local store. You know, difference is we were 13, 14. I wasn't one of them, but I was one of the kids that got drunk and did stupid stuff in the hotel, so, and other things. So you're right. I mean, I'm not sitting here on a high horse. People are talking about kicking ball off the team. Is that too far? You were an assistant. What do you do in a situation like this with the kids? And dare I say, actually, these kids getting detained and put in a jail cell in China there really is a lesson learned here, in a sense, because you know they're pissing themselves right now.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, right, it's one thing shoplifting or stealing in Montreal and Toronto or in Burlington, Vermont, and it's another thing trying to steal in China, right? You're going in a jail cell, it's rat-infested, and who knows when you're going to come out. So hopefully this
the cops, the cops in China told them yesterday, they got on the bus, the 20 cops raided two buses. Georgia Tech and UCLA's buses were going to the facility for a practice. And the cops, 10 cops got on each bus, and they told them, you know, you guys stole stuff, and you're under arrest. And everyone played dumb. I don't know what you're talking about. No one knows, because they didn't have the stuff on the bus with them. So the cops in China told them, Pete, they said, if you don't confess and you lie to us, you will not go home to America. Like that, they told them point blank, and they pulled Alford aside, and they said, we're not playing. They said, like, we will keep him, and you're like, he's not leaving, type of deal. So three players confessed, and then I think Alford was shocked. They took the kids away, and no one's seen them since. Now, as of, I don't know, maybe they were released yet, but LeVar's saying it's chill out. Listen, they're not going to end up in a labor camp or anything like that, but you're not going to, this isn't like Law and Order, dude, where they're going to get out in 24 hours. Like, they might be held for a month or something, dude. We don't know.
And President Donald Trump is visiting China in a couple
God.
Of days as well.
We need a LeVar Ball press conference with Donald Trump. Like, I need Trump to throw this in. And hey, you got a couple of our guys. Can you, you know? Not to mention, you got Ball trying to sell shoes over there. Now, and stealing in China is a big, like, shameful thing. So they're going to look at the Balls. This sort of hurts the Baller brand there as well. Like, it's bad in all assets here.
No, it's terrible. It's a black eye for everybody involved. And, you know, like, I got a friend of mine, you know, he said, well, Trump's going out there. Like, it wouldn't be something if Trump comes with Air Force One and takes LeVar Ball and his son back home on Air Force One. That would be something. But, listen, to answer your question, I don't think nobody will be thrown off the team again. They're going to do their due diligence and see what happens. Is there a pattern here? They'll be suspended. They won't play on this game. Hopefully they come back. They'll be suspended for at least 4 or 5 games. But listen, this is a tough lesson to learn if you're an 18, 19-year-old kid. But I feel for a lot of the coaching staff. You know, I coached there, Gabe. The biggest difference between coaching pro in the NBA and coaching college, when you coach in pro, once the guys leave the arena, you're done. Your job's over. They could take care of themselves. If they get into the trouble,
yeah, that's
their
problem. Exactly.
Not in college. We didn't sleep at night because anything that ever happens to any player, he does any stupidity,
you get blamed. Exactly.
So there's the big problem, and now you're all the way back there in China. But hopefully, listen, Georgia Tech had a great year. Josh Pastner's a reigning ACC Coach of the Year, and now he's got all these allegations or these accusations. So hopefully that could be rectified sooner rather than later.
All right, we've only got like 30 seconds here, unfortunately, already. Kevin Durant's out right now. T-Wolves are red hot coming into this game. So are the Warriors. Should be a fun basketball game. Is it another Warriors blowout, or do you think the T-Wolves can hang quickly on this?
I think they'll hang. They've won 5 in a row. They're starting to understand Thibodeau's defensive philosophy. I mean, Towns, Wiggins, and Butler are coming together. Jamal Crawford's playing better off the bench. You know, Gibson's giving them that leadership. It's going to be tough because once Golden State decides to play defense, right, when they decide to actually play defense, nobody can hang with them. They'll win that title again. But without Durant, it gives an opportunity for some of the other guys to step up offensively. You know, Klay, Draymond shooting the ball really well. Jordan Bell, let's see if he comes out, get a couple of more minutes. But I think this game will be closer now. And I think, hey, it's a statement, right? They're 7-3 to T-Wolves. They want to compete. They want to try and get into that top four echelon in the West. So I see a close game. But again, Curry, Klay at home, they'll be tough to beat.
Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS Television. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. Fire. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Are you ready for some action? All right, let's jump in. Now, we've got some action this evening. Western Michigan, minus 20.5. They've got Northern Illinois coming up next. They need to win this game to punch a spot to get to 6 wins for a bowl bid. I like Western Michigan to pace Kent State tonight. Toledo Rockets, very good football team. It's going to be a great game. Give me the Rockets minus the 3 in a high-scoring game against the Ohio Bobcats. I don't know why Eastern Michigan are favored in this game. You guys know I'm a big Central Michigan fan. Give me the chips, man. Really? Why are Eastern Michigan favored? Give me Central Michigan. Mark Lawrence special, UAB, plus the 7.5. NBA basketball, Lakers going on the road. Hopefully Lonzo doesn't steal anything in Boston besides a basketball. Give me the Celtics minus 7. Give me the T-Wolves plus 8.5 over the number and under in the Leafs game.